According to Psalm 119, so go ahead and turn there. Psalm 119. Perhaps you put the bulletin last week and he plans to have me preach once a month. And as I do that this year, if the Lord carries, we're going to look at God's Word, various characteristics of God's Word. Today we're going to look at illumination. And one of the reasons that I think it's important that we bring this to our attention is that we live in a day and age when there's a battle for the Word of God, just as there always has been. You remember this battle again? When the serpent said to Eve, and God said, casting down on God's very word from the just about the beginning of time. And that battle has been going on. As we look at church history, we can see times in church history when that battle was a greater struggle than other times. And certainly we live in a day and age when we're once again there. We're battling for things like the inspiration of the Word of God and the sufficiency of the Word of God. And we need to keep this before us. As we read passages like Psalm 119, just when God was reading through that passage, didn't it just warm your heart as you're reminded of the truths by the psalmist of what God's Word is? And by God's grace, we're going to look through several of these verses today. We certainly can't deal with this whole passage or do it justice at the time that we have together, but we'll look at some of these things. A few years ago, here's kind of a running together bathroom. Guess what that means? Maybe I'm beginning to understand some of the oracles where you're at, what you're thinking, what you've been meaning by, what you're defined by. So it happened to me, but a few years ago, I was with a hunting party. I don't want to disclose any names. And it was approaching the closing time for the day. It was still legal shooting. And we were in a vehicle and we were going to drive over this one of our last roads before we, I can't recall now if we're going to go back to camp or go back home, I can't remember, but for the conclusion of the hunting day. And one of our hunting partners, someone spotted the beaver. There was just this like alley in the trees. Now, on this road, a legal road to shoot from, by the way. That reminds me of another joke. You talk about West Virginia hunters. And we know those West Virginia hunters, they're sharpshooters. This West Virginian had three tags. He had a deer, he had a, again, two deer, I guess that's what we have to say. You can't say all the king. He had three tags in Ohio, and for Ohio, he one deer, one doe, one buck, and one black bear. And he went over to Ohio, and he had a successful hunt. But on his way, man, across the river, the game wouldn't stop him. And went through his things, and they were confirming whether he had legitimate tags, whether it was legal for him to take what he took. And as they were doing that, they realized that doe had been shot right between the eyes. And they were incredibly impressed by their remains. And the West Virginian said, well, I'm a West Virginian, you know how to shoot. And as they looked at the buck that had been shot, the white-tailed buck, they realized that that one had been shot through the between the eyes as well. And the West Virginian just, yeah, of course, I'm a West Virginian, you know how to shoot. And by this time, some other game wardens had come over, and this caused quite a stir. And as they examined the bear and his tag and things, they noticed that the bear as well had been shot right between the eyes. But one of the game wardens that came over also noticed that there was a hole in each of the bear's front paws. And they looked confused, and they finally said to the West Virginian, well, we understand the shot between the eyes, but what about the shots in both his front paws? And West Virginia said, oh, that's silly bear. As soon as I shot the lion, I would know what I did. That's not legal in Ohio, it's like it's not legal around here. We were completely legal in the hunting story I'm telling, okay? And someone in the party spotted this deer. Sarah's lack of unbelief. He had seen and continues to see you and me. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world, Acts chapter 15, verse 18. The powerful word of God is settled forever in heaven. It is beyond the reach of man. No person, however clever, however confident or confused, will be able to change God's word. It is a foolish thing, indeed, to tamper with God's word or try to eliminate God's word. Diocletian, if you're studying history, you might remember that name, used the vast resources of the Roman Empire attempting to stamp out the Bible. Voltaire developed a copy of the Bible and said, in 50 years I'll have this book in the morgue. Well, in 50 years he was in the morgue in the Geneva Bible Society, owned his house, and used it to place the storehouse. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Matthew 24, verse 35. This powerful word of God is settled on earth. Psalm 119, verse 90. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. The psalmist takes us right back to the first page of Scripture, and he reminds us that God's word established the earth. On the first day of creation, God's word established the laws of light. He ordained the light to travel at 186,000 miles per second, that it should dispel darkness, that its speed should be one of the constants of our universe, so that thousands of years later, man could conclude that E equals MC squared. Energy equals mass multiplied by the speed of light squared. On the second day of creation, God's word established the form of the firmament, along with the forces of evaporation and condensation, which affliction. God's word will keep our sanity when our world is falling apart. We have Paul and Silas, Acts chapter 16, in the Philippian jail. What were they doing there? Singing praises to God, recalling the promises of their faithful God. And of course, you know that story. What was the result? The conversion of the Philippian jailer and Paul and his family. Move a little closer to our day and age, and we find John Bunyan not sitting in a Philippian jail, but rather Bedford jail, imprisoned for preaching the word, knowing he was unable to support his wife, thinking too also of his little blind daughter. They put Bunyan in that jail, and out of it came Christian and Pliable. Mr. Goodhart, Madam Lovell, atheist and Mr. Worldly, wise man, Mr. Valiant for the truth, and all the others freed from his knowledge of God. He allowed God's word to shine in the darkness of that prison cell and kept him from the sword of his father. What amazing testimony as he allowed the word of God to be a lamp of his feet and a light of his path. Verse 93 demonstrates another protection. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. God's word will quicken our faith. As God's word is stored in our memory, so can it be used by the Holy Spirit to quicken us in the moment of temptation, or the moment of trial, or decision, or doubt. Thou shalt not steal. Forsake not the assembly of yourselves together. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of thy mouth. Listen to the children, obey your parents in the Lord. There it is. God's word commanding us, able to quicken us. Verse 94 points to another protection. I am thine, save thee, for I have sought thy precepts. God's will meet our deepest psychological need, the need to be accepted. This verse contains a beautiful lesson on prayer as well. Did you catch the prayer? Just a two-word prayer. Save me. Have you ever prayed that prayer? Save me reminds me of the apostle or the disciple Peter. Sees the master walk upon the water and jumps over the side of the boat. Well, that's Peter. He's jumping right into it now. Begins to walk on the water, but then his attention changed from the Lord to the surrounding sea and what began to happen. Began to sing. And what was his prayer? Save me. No speech, just a recognition of our urgent need that only He can meet. Verse 95 points to another. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. God's word will safeguard us. It will give us a broader view, a wider horizon, and a sense of divine purpose, which no present circumstance can change. We need to be careful allowing life circumstances to shape us and mold us and make us. God's word is also powerful for our perfecting, not just for our protection, but for our perfecting. Verses 98 through 100 point this out. Look at me, verse 98. Though thou The psalmist is entitled about that as well. Verses 101 through 104 bring out some aspects of this path that's illuminated for our feet. Verse 101, I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. It's a path of separation to God and from the world. We think of Daniel in Babylon as a young man taken from his home into captivity in Babylon, purposing his heart that he would not defile himself. Verse 102, I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. It's a path of steadfastness. We think again of Daniel in Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Remember that? God revealed the meaning of that dream to Daniel. And Daniel wasn't sure he wanted to share the meaning of that dream with Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, after all, how do you explain to a king you're about to go insane? Nebuchadnezzar was known for his short fuse. Daniel remains steadfast. And of course, we think also of the Apostle Paul, as he declares that he finished his course and he kept his faith. Verse 103, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. It's not only a path of separation, not only a path of steadfastness, but it's also a path of satisfaction. Daniel, again, remember he said he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's. Then he explained that they would eat vegetables. To give up that rich bounty for something like that. Just a small example of the application of that reality. This path that the Word of God illuminates for us, a path of separation, a path of steadfastness, a path of satisfaction, and also a path of superiority. Look at verse 104. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. As we continue with the illustration of Daniel's life, we recognize this path of superiority, a life of higher quality. Daniel, after the Persians coming in as an old man, became a prayer warrior for Israel so that they would confess their sin. But they had confession that had led them to the captivity they were experiencing. And then this work of the psalmist of allowing the circumstances to get down. The Bible ministers to our inner person, but to our spirit. That is the subjective perspective we get from God's Word. It fortifies our hearts and it reminds us, it links our weaknesses to His strengths. It also penetrates the darkness of fears in verse 1 and 9. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. You might say, wait a minute, what's the true prayer? Well, they say a little different than we say it today. We say rather than my soul is continually in my hand, we say something like, my heart is in my mouth. You know what that means, right? We probably say that because we're afraid, we're frightened, and our heart does what? We're frightened. Beats faster? Does that happen to you? And we feel our heart throb, our pulse, or heartbeat, or whatever. Susan, set me straight on the medical language. Or Wendy. And we feel where? You know, in our throat, right? And in our neck area. And that's what we say. My heart was in my mouth. The point is, the psalmist was afraid. But God's word touched his fears. The word, this illuminated word, this lamp to our feet and light to our path, also penetrates the darkness of our foes, in verse 110. The wicked have laid snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. David comes to mind once again. He saw such trap for David by offering Merab. David was careful, and he said he wasn't fit to be the son of all the king, 1 Samuel chapter 18. But then Saul gave Merab to another, just to see what David would do. David didn't fall into that trap as well, and he remained silent, verse 19. Then Saul attempted to snare David once more with his daughter Michal. Saul said, I would give her that he may be a snare, that she may be a snare to him. David knew God's word enough not to respond to God. The Lord sneered at Satan and groaned such snares because he honored God's precepts. We see this principle that the psalmist points out for us in verse 110. It's exemplified in the life of David. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Now we have to cover verse 111 and verse 112. Verse 111. What joy God's word and the life of the children. Look at verse 111. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. Now we've come up with some different ideas in our culture about heritage as we approach it. But what better heritage do we leave than recognizing the Word of God be a lamp to our feet, a light to our path, a life that is given to obedience to His revealed will for our lives. Dan's going to come down and lead us in a word. God, give him a song.
Ending a little different this morning, getting that song in and bringing our attention.